Blog Talk Radio.
www.mylifecompass.com/LaLisaWilliams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach LaLisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to this Independence Day show. Well, happy 4th of July. As we said, it's the beginning of the 7th month of the year. We're halfway through 1 year and about to finish this one up. So we want to help you, motivate you, coach you, empower you, train you, teach you, guide you to getting the job done, setting your goals, setting your visions, and making it happen. So for the rest of the year, we want to be there to help you get that done. We know you have goals, you have dreams, and you need to get them started. But happy 4th of July to all of you. If you're celebrating with family and friends, we congratulate you. We know many of you may not be able to tune into the show because you had such a great time last night that you didn't get up in time or you forgot to set your alarm. It's all right. We excuse you, but you know I'm here. I'm absolutely enjoying what I do, which is what we also teach other people, how to enjoy your life, how to develop your life, how to develop the things that you are doing. So we know that some people are able to tune in for the very reason that you're off. Today is a holiday and you have the day off, and so other times you haven't been able to tune in, but you were able to tune in today. So we celebrate each and every one of you. We are excited. Good morning, good morning. I see you in the chat room, Ms. Kiva. We were just saying that for some people, it's, you know, hard on a holiday weekend, 4-day weekend, to remember to get up one more morning, early in the morning. So we certainly know what that is like. Some of you are up early because you're getting ready for those family cookouts, those neighborhood cookouts, or maybe you're having a cookout with your church family or some other group. but people all over getting together, having their cookouts, having their other food gatherings. So we want you to be, you know, eat responsibly, you know, like they say, drink responsibly. Well, eat responsibly. Don't overdo it today. You know how we tend to do. We overdo it and say, oh, I'll go on a diet later. No, we don't want to do that. We want to eat enough to say we've tasted something, and therefore we can make our assessment of how it tasted and then move on. Don't overdo it. Remember, you got the rest of the week and the rest of the month. The rest of the month is going to be a great month, I believe. This is, like I said, it's July. This is the 7th month of the year, 4th of July, happening on a Monday. You know, we don't get that too often, so giving us that long weekend, 4th of July being one of those holidays that you don't get off. Typically holidays, some holidays, Memorial Day, Labor Day, holidays of such, you get that Monday off and or celebrated that Monday. But 4th of July, whatever day it falls on, that's the day you get off work. So it's really special that we get it when we're getting it. But I want to actually bring to you, yes, okay, right, Kiva, no overdoing it. But what I want to do today, I actually have a session that I had done a little over a year ago that I want to share with you, because I think there's some information there that some people, if you didn't hear that session, then you some information there that you want to hear. So I'm going to play part of that. And the title of that session is Focusing, Implementing, and Growing Your Business. Focusing, Implementing, and Growing Your Business. I'm going to take you into that previously recorded session and share that information with you. Again, we're halfway through the year, so for some people, this is a good time to hear how to focus, how to implement, so that I can grow my business. Now, that business could be a personal business. It could be the business that you work for. Maybe you work for a small business like myself. I work for a woman who has her own small business. So I'm like a business within the business because I run one segment of her small business. So here's the thing. Some of you remember when I came to you several months back, and I was so excited. I said, you know, I get to run my own business. I want to run my own business. I don't want to work for someone else. And that was really my goal. That was really my desire. That's where my passion lies. And I don't know about you. I don't know where your passions are. I do hope that you discover your passions. You know, so many people, they are caught up in this treadmill of life. They're stuck. And they're not really happy. They're not really being fulfilled. They're not really joyful working for someone else. And it's not just so bad that they're working for someone. That's not the problem. The problem is the why they're working, where they work. It's as if they are not really happy where they are. In other words, here's a person might say, well, Lalisa, how do you know when someone is not happy working where they are? Well, there are some signs that you can tell when a person is not happy working where they are. And so we question and we wonder, well, why are you there? So maybe you don't know how to do what this recording is going to show you how to do, which is how to focus, how to implement, and how to grow your business. How do you do that? Where does it start? But some people, the way you can tell if people are not happy with their job, number one, if you listen to them and they hate going to work. I was around a lot of people that, you know, love to talk about. Like on Friday, they were happy that they got off work. They were so happy that the weekend was there. Saturday rolled around. They were still happy, having a great time. But when Sunday came, miserable. They just got very miserable and began to sound off about how much they hated Monday morning and they hated going to work. Well, that's a person, possibly that's a person who's trapped in some kind of a vicious cycle or like on a treadmill and they can't get off. They don't know how to tap into their dream factor. You know, there's a dream factor within each of us. And if we could only but tap into that, you see, we could unlock greatness that is being dwarfed, that's being hidden, that's being shut out. And then you have individuals, another way that you can tell that individuals hate their, they talk about hating their job. If they complain a lot about their job, their work, it's another good way to tell possibly that they've not tapped into their passion. Because when you tap into your passion, you know, you should see it as a purpose, the work that you're doing. You don't see it as a job. You see it as a purpose, as a mission. And therefore, you're not going to complain. You know, you're on a mission. You're there to accomplish something. You feel as though this is what you were born to do. Now, a lot of people are discovering right now that they have stepped out of their passion. They're not living in their dream, and they're like on a treadmill going nowhere. And a lot of people, unfortunately, it's very sad, they're stuck there because they have their mortgage, they have the children's education to pay for, they have the car note, they have the mortgage. Typically, it's things like that, especially a mortgage, because mortgages are very important in people's lives, and they're very big. A lot of times a mortgage is a huge one. The mortgage, it represents a house. It represents home ownership, one of the American dreams. Because, you know, I used to wonder why it was the American dream. And once I began to study other countries and what people have a right to do in those countries, you know, America is one of the few countries where you have a right to own property of any kind, whether it's property for a home or property for a business, but that you can own the deed to property. So it becomes more interesting to know that this is an American dream. So here you have people who have their mortgages, and that's a big one. Typically, once people get that house, sometimes they get stuck and they never go back. They never go back to the dreams they had when they were 5 and 7 and 12 and 18 and 23, whatever age they were before they got the house. Typically, they don't go back to that dream because now they have the house. And then once they get married, you know, that can be another significant thing that can, you know, stop a person from living their dream, because now you don't only have yourself to contend with and to have your own thoughts telling you thoughts of doubt. You have now a partner who may say, no, we shouldn't do that. I don't think that'll be a great idea. I don't think that'll be good. And so now you have two people. So you want to, if you can, if you want to tap into this dream factor, you want to live your dream, you want to have the purpose-driven life. You want to have a life where it's exciting. You're happy about going to work. You know, you want to, you're giving your all, every God-given talent, ability, gift, and skill is being utilized to the fullest. Then you want to tap into that dream, and so that's why I wanted to play this segment for you as you go into the rest of the year, so that you don't get stuck in a place that you're going to regret one day. You know, so many people are on the job and they're also tied, not only the mortgage, car payments, children's education, but some people go to jobs that they hate, absolutely hate the work, hate the people, hate the company, hate what they do. But they do it for a pension. And it's amazing how people really psych themselves out. And they're like the walking dead. And they're just there for a pension. And some of them, unfortunately, don't even live long enough to enjoy the pension. And so they could have rather done something different, something that they at least spent every day of their life enjoying doing. But instead, they got caught up into the world system, or a system that traps you into a place where your dreams do not thrive and your dreams are not cultivated or your dreams are not tapped into. And they're in a place where everyone in the place is pretty much like a dream killer almost. Because in many of those places, if you talk about having your own business, talk about living your dreams, the people look at you as if you're crazy. You know, pretty much you know that you don't say very much. You just kind of keep quiet and, you know, just go on with the program. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, good, Kiva. Glad that you're off today. So I want to play some of this, and then we'll come back, you know, toward the end of the show and get, you know, some feedback. Or if you'd like to call into the show, you can do that. You can call into the show on 347-945-7991. And we welcome you to the show if it's your first time tuning in to the Coach Lalisa Show. We have some great and wonderful things that are going to be happening, not only here in New Jersey, where we are based, but around the world. As a matter of fact, if you're in the New Jersey area, please inbox me if you would like to come to our book signing that's going to be happening this Saturday at 4, from 4 to 7, and we're going to be signing the book Release Your Power. So that book is still alive and well, and we are going to be featured with the Women's Empowerment Book Club. We are being featured all month long. You can connect with them on Facebook, and you can order your book through them. You can order your book through myself. If you already have the book and you want to join in on the weekly discussions, please, please, please do. We urge you. That'll be Thursday nights from 7 to 9. And the times will be posted on my page. And also there will be a Wednesday TV conference, through YouTube. We will also post that on the page. So we appreciate your support and thank you for tuning in and listening. So now we're going to go into the message that I was telling you about, implementing focusing and growing your business. Focusing and growing your business. Now, I'm going to start right here, and then, like I said, we'll come back. So keep listening.
All right, I'm going to go on and get started. For some reason, it didn't quite work like that, but I just want to, again, just welcome everyone to tonight's teleconference session. Tonight, we are going to be talking about focusing, implementing, and growing your vision in 2010. So the topic for tonight is focusing, implementing, and growing your vision in 2010. And you know what? I personally am just so excited about 2010. And I believe a lot of people are excited about 2010. It's a new year. It's a new decade. So this is absolutely the first month, and this is just the best, absolute best time to get our vision and set it. Because like you've all heard, and maybe some of you haven't heard, but this is what successful business people do. This is how they get successful. This is one of the things that they do, is that at the beginning of the year, they set their vision. Now, you may wonder, well, why wouldn't you just, you know, look at your vision from last year? Well, you do consider some things from last year, but every year you still have to start fresh, because there may be things from last year that we may or may not have achieved. So this is a new year, and we're going to look at some of those things that will pretty much make a clear picture for you as to why it's so important and to me almost critical that we set the vision and we set it in the beginning of the year. Now, the other thing is that it is absolutely the leader's job to set the vision. Let me say that again. It is the leader's job to set the vision. So if you are the CEO of your company, if you are the president or the executive president of your nonprofit agency, if you are the leader of yourself, you are your own company. So a vision can be set on three levels. A very personal level, that's as an individual, you can set your vision. You can set a vision on a group level. It could be a group that you are working with in the community. It could be in your home. That could be considered a group. Also, you as a business, so on a corporate level for your entire business. So those are the various levels that you can set your vision for. And you could have a different vision, slightly different vision for your personal versus your business. But nonetheless, what I want to stress is that it is the leader's job to set the vision. And therefore, with that being said, one of the things that we're going to talk about tonight is how then does the leader get the rest of the team, the rest of the partners, the other individuals to help them carry out that vision. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And we have some steps to help you. And part of it, you'll see that it comes from our very topic, focusing, implementing, and growing your vision in 2010. We're also going to look at this tonight. We're going to look at in this session is exactly what a vision is. You know what? It would be very hard to communicate to someone that a vision needs to be implemented and a vision needs to be carried out if we don't even really know what a vision is. Because, you know, everybody talks about vision. And so we want an operational definition. We want a definition that everyone in the organization or the group is on the same point, and they absolutely know what we mean when we say vision. So we ourselves, as leader of your business, that's why you're on this call, you have a business. And I'm not quite sure why the call isn't more full, because there's no way you can run a business without this information. And that could be, like, for instance, we have Legacy Builders, you know, MPM, Marketplace Ministries. So whether your business is a ministry, whether your business is a marketplace business, a marketplace ministry, whether your business is a business where it is not necessarily considered a ministry, no matter what kind of business you have, you absolutely need this information. Now, a vision, so we're going to talk about that. What, make sure we understand what a vision is. So definitely I would love for you to take some notes. Now, let me just say this up front. What I've learned about a vision is that, number one, there will be no success in the things that we do as business owners. There will be no success for us until we have already submitted to and accept that God has the perfect, the absolute perfect divine plan for our lives. That is first and foremost. That, in other words, if we do not establish that and get that down in our minds and our hearts and our souls, then all of our focusing and implementing and growing are for absolutely nothing. It's for absolutely nothing. And it will be much, much, much more hard work if we do not understand that our visions, our dreams, our goals, our plans, our strategies, all that we desire to carry out to do, have to be centered on God. Now, the Word of God does tell us that He will give us the desires of our hearts. He said that if we submit unto Him, He would give us the desires of our heart. And so, we are okay with desiring things and wanting to be authors, wanting to be event planners, wanting to be other types of business owners. Maybe we're graphic art designers. Maybe we, you know, design websites. Maybe we're construction workers. Maybe we own a construction company. Any kind of business you can name, anything you can think of, you cannot do that outside and absent of understanding that it is absolutely God who we must acknowledge that He is at the center of what we do. He is the center. Therefore, we want to be in the center of His perfect will for us. So that must be the first thing that has to be established before we establish the vision. Now, I know that someone had made a comment not too long ago about, you know, how awesome it is to hear from God, how awesome it is to have God speak to you and tell you what it is that you should do. And I certainly subscribe to that, and I think that's wonderful. But at the same time, I also believe that God has already spoken. Yea, the word of God is God's word. And so no one has to sit around, in my opinion, waiting for God to speak. He's already spoken. Open up the word of God, read it, and find in there, just choose something that He said is the righteous thing to do. If He says in His word that it's a righteous thing to feed the hungry, then go and start a food pantry. See, until you get that audible word that He wants you to go start a daycare center. Okay? But anyway, I just thought I would throw that one in for free. So, we're setting the vision. We are establishing the vision. The Word of God says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge, but I wasn't thinking of that one, that without vision, the people perish, which almost means the same thing. Without vision, the people perish. And then also in the Word of God, it says, write the vision, make it plain. Write the vision, make it plain, so that man may read it and run with it, so that you will be able to accomplish. So we as leaders must take the time in this first month of the year to sit down. Like, if we're too busy to sit down and write the vision, then, you know, the question becomes, are we really worthy to even have a vision? If we cannot take the time to write it down, so that's the first thing I want you to know to do, is that you have to absolutely write it down. But let's first look at, what do we mean by a vision? Because, again, we hear all this talk about vision, and sometimes it just begins to sound like something cool to say, something nice to say, and people don't even have a clue. Well, let's look at some things about vision. Number one, a vision is something for the future, and I cannot stress that enough. You don't know how many times I've been in boardrooms, I've been in board meetings from all the various companies that I've ever worked for, the companies that I've studied, the companies that I've read about, time after time after time again. A lot of people in companies don't even realize what a vision is. A vision is for the future. It is about somewhere you want to go. The vision is about something you want to accomplish. Again, I'm going to use an example with Sister Denise Jenkins, who put together this awesome, wonderful teleconference, and welcome each and every one of you that are here on this conference, and welcome to all those who will hear this later. Her vision, she has a vision of what the Sanctuary CEC, she already has the Sanctuary CEC established. She's done the paperwork. However, she has a vision of how it's going to look and operate. So she has a vision for some wholesome Christian wellness, wholeness, entertainment that is going to take place. Now, some people would look at her vision and think she's foolish because she doesn't have it yet. And some would even cast her aside and say, you know, what's wrong with her? What are you talking about? You don't have that. I don't see that. You see, when a person cannot see your vision, all they've done was helped you with one of my steps that I'm going to talk about later. Because that person is all they're doing is saying that they cannot see the future. Because a vision is for what? It's for the future. And people who tell you they can't see your vision after you've explained it to them, the problem is that they're only looking at right now. They're just looking at the present. They're not visionaries. Because a visionary is the vision, number one, first and foremost, is about a future state. Okay, so I think I've driven that home enough, but I really felt I had to focus on that because a lot of people can't understand, well, why can't a person, you know, why, you know, people, sometimes you figure people won't support you. Some companies have this problem all the time. They can't get the support of their team for their vision, Well, that's because you really haven't communicated a vision to them, A, number one. And you haven't, and the problem is that sometimes it has not been communicated properly because they have not convinced the people that the vision is for a future time. It may be 5 years. It may be 10 years down the line, but in some future state. Okay, again, now, let's look at something else about a vision. So a vision stretches you. If a vision is for the future, then a vision has to stretch you. And therefore, it can be painful. Anytime something's being stretched, that means stress is being put there. That means you got to come out of your comfort zone. So visionaries are people who are walking constantly out of a comfort zone. Visionaries are not people who are walking in, who are caught up in a box, who are tied up and bound up in one little spot and one little location. And that's why sometimes it'll look like a visionary is all over the place. But that's because a visionary is always out ahead. They're always out forward because, remember, they have to do two things at once. They got to live in the present, but they got to operate like they're in the future if they're going to bring their vision to pass. If you're going to bring your vision to pass, you have to operate in the present, but operate as if you're already in the future. So that means doing two things at once, multitasking, walking and chewing gum at the same time, whatever you want to call it. But you have to be able to do it well, and you have to be able to communicate this to others. So a vision, we said, looks forward. A vision doesn't look backwards. That's why. That's another reason why some people, we're just talking about a vision right now, because before we go talking about how to focus and implement and grow the vision, we have to first make sure we understand what a vision is. We have to get everyone on the same page as to what a vision, before I begin to go into all of that. So the vision looks forward rather than looking backwards. The vision has to be, your vision has to be far enough ahead, so that the goals you're setting is about something that you want to achieve, not something that you already have. See, the vision is not for Sister Denise to have that wonderful facility that she has over there on Northfield Avenue. She already has that. That's not the vision. Now, the vision may be in something that she's planning to do with that facility in the future. Maybe she's planning to open some kind of, you know, institute there. That would be the vision for that place. But she already has the place. But that is a vision manifested from something she dreamed up 10 years ago. See, the vision, remember, is something for the future. That's why 10 years ago, when she wanted to get the office, there became, at one point, probably an anxiousness in her that she wanted to get it. That's because a visionary is operating in two spots. They're operating in where they are, but they know they've already seen the future, so there could be an anxiousness. That's why the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication make our requests known unto Him. Because he doesn't operate in the same time like us, so God is already, he's in eternity, so he already knows that the future is going to come to pass, and that's how we have to begin to think. Now, the other thing about a vision is that the vision has to be something that's like big. It has to be something really big. Again, right now, Sister Denise, and I'm just using her as an example because I do know her and know some of the things that she's doing. Now, right now, a small vision for her would not really work because, again, she can't have as a vision, well, I'm going to be doing workshops here in the Northfield. I'm going to be doing workshops here in this wonderful part of Cleveland. She can't do that. Not Euclid. I know it's another part, but you know what I'm talking about. She can't. That's not a vision for her. It's not a big one because she's already there. But you need a big vision. She has to, this is for you to even stay motivated. But certainly for you to get a team motivated, you got to have something big, something great, something that people will be motivated to try to achieve. Something that's so big that they can't wait to get there. That's why, you know, when I tell people about the TV show, that seems big, but you can't even imagine how many people are already excited to work with me without pay. Because when people get excited about things that are bigger than them, bigger than life, that's why we're so in love with the Lord. And so excited because heaven, God has promised us heaven, and heaven is so big. That's our future. That's the vision. You know what I'm saying? That we're all working toward that, but we're still living in the right now. So you got to have a vision. Your vision has to be big. Now, something else that you want to do, something else that you need to know about visions, and I think I mentioned this, but I'll just mention it one more time, is that you have to definitely write your vision down. You have to write your vision down, and you have to revise it over time. So those are just some of the basic things that I wanted you to know about a vision. So you certainly, the first thing we want you to know is that the vision looks forward rather than backwards. Your vision has to look forward ahead, a distance. Again, not necessarily a 6 months, but that could be, you know, a very short-term small vision. But the vision ought to be a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan. Remember, you want to have something that will really motivate people, and you want something big and something great. So if you don't have a vision established for your business or your ministry, or your personal life, then, for instance, some people want to write a book, and they have a vision of writing a book. Well, the vision could be a better vision if you see yourself as you're writing a book, but that book is going to become a movie. Or you see yourself writing a book, but you see yourself traveling around the country doing a workshop or a seminar based on that book. So that would be a vision that would really stretch you, really move you, because remember what I said, a vision ought to stretch you. A vision should stretch us. There should be some little pain there with the vision, okay? Great. Now I want to talk about something that will help you as you are focusing, implementing, and growing your vision. Focusing, implementing, and growing your vision. What you're going to do in that scenario, we are going to The first thing that you're going to do is I'm going to give you 5 things that you're going to do in focusing, implementing, and growing your vision for 2010. Number one, you're going to define what you're aiming to achieve for the future. Again, you might be aiming to open a restaurant. Maybe you want to open a chain of restaurants. Maybe you want to open a fitness center. Maybe you want to open a health center, a community center. You might want to. So you have to define what you're aiming for. How are people going to write it and run with it and help you accomplish it if you don't know what exactly it is? You can't go to someone and say, I want to do something great. They will be clueless. So you have to tell them exactly what it is. You have to have it defined. So that's number one of the steps to focusing and implementing and growing your vision. The next thing you have to do, you have to assess where you are right now. You have this vision, you have this aim of where you're going, what you're trying to achieve, remember, for the future, what you're trying to achieve for the future. And again, if I could just use Sister Denise Jenkins, she has defined what she's trying to achieve with the Sanctuary CEC. Now, she's also accessed where she is right now. What does she have right now? Well, she may have some skills. She may have some connections. She may have some partners. She may have some workshops and things that she's already doing. So you have to, that's what she has going right now. She has catering. She has other things that she's doing. Now, once you've defined where you're going, with the sanctuary that's going to service hundreds of thousands of people, you look at where you are right now, where you may be holding events where you're servicing 10 people, 20 people. Now you have to compare the two in step three. Step three is to compare the disparity between where you're aiming for and where you are. I did this when I decided to go back to college. My future aim was to hold advanced degrees. And I had to look at where I was at that moment. I had no degree. And then step three was to compare, you know, the difference. I had to look at
that, well, I have no degree, and I'm looking to get, at that point, it was just an associate degree. After I did that, step four, you have to analyze what you will need in order to get your aim accomplished. So let's just say the aim is to get a bachelor's degree. You look at where you are right now. I have a high school diploma. What's the difference? What's the disparity between a high school diploma and a bachelor's? About 4 years of education, classes, report writing, books. You've done step three. Now four, what will you need to reach that 4 years? Well, you're going to need money. You're going to need some time to, you know, work on your projects, and you will need, you know, you need books. You need support from family, right? If you have family. If you don't have family, you're good to go. You need possibly a job to help you pay for the college education, unless, of course, you're like some people and you have a rich family member that can help you pay. See, but there's a key point here is that you have to consider when you're setting your goal that in order to reach your future state, there is something and some bodies or lots of bodies that you need to help you achieve your goal. There's something, somebody that you need to help you achieve your goal, that will help you reach your goal. So we got step one, we got to define exactly what you're aiming for to achieve in the future. You have to assess where you are right now. You have to compare the disparity of the difference of where you're at. Then you have to analyze. You have to analyze what it is that you need to get you there. And after you analyze what you need to get you there, now you have to make a map. You have to map out your plan of action. Because now that you've analyzed what it is that you need is going to get you there, now you have to map out a plan of action as to how you're going to get the things that you need. In other words, we call that closing the gap. Comparing, going from looking at step one and step two, the difference in where you're aiming and what you have, we call that a gap. To close that gap will take you analyze two critical parts that you cannot forget. Number four, number five. Number four, you have to know what you need to help you close the gap, and this is where you need the help of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you to all truth. The Holy Spirit will connect you with the things that you need to help you reach your goal. Case in point. 2003, I met Sister Denise Jenkins in New York City at an elevator. Didn't know her, had never seen her a day in my life. The Holy Spirit knew I was going to be there on that day and knew that she would be there on that day. He connected us. And now, things that at the time was just a vision for me to be traveling around the country, speaking, online, holding a teleseminar, you all, every one of you that have tuned into this teleconference tonight, you are the result. You are the credential that God's vision came to fruition. That the vision that God allowed me to have, that's why I was in New York. I was with an organization called Toastmasters International. I was there because I had wanted to be a motivational speaker, a trainer. At the time, I was not a trainer. I went there because my vision, my aim was to be a speaker. Where I was at the point, I was not a speaker. What I needed to close the gap was to get around speakers and build up the skills. So what happens? I joined Toastmasters. Toastmasters International took me on a convention to New York. In New York, I met Denise, and the rest, really, as they say, is history. Now, Denise invited me a session in New York 6 months after I met her to speak, and you all, some of you all were there, to speak before 700 plus women, and there were a few men there. I'm telling you, I'm not speaking from something I've read in a book. I'm not speaking from something that I got off the internet. I am telling you from flat out experience that this is how a vision comes to reality. This is how you focus and you implement and you grow the vision. What is your, my question to you, what is your vision for 2010? That's the first thing. I said in step one, you have to have your aim. You have to have an aim of what it is that you're trying to achieve. What is your goal? What is your vision? Now, so number five then, map your plan of action as to how you're going to close the gap between your vision and your current state. This is not rocket science. It is a process. If you follow it, it will work for you. This is how I operate. I operate with these five steps. I set an aim. I look at where I am. I compare the difference between where I want to go and where I am. I look at what do I need to close the gap. And then I map out a plan of how I'm going to close that gap. If I need communication skills to close the gap, now I'm mapping out how can I go and get better communication skills. If I need more money, more finances to close the gap, now in step five, I'm looking at how am I going to map out to get more money. Okay, that's why I teach, because that brings me an income that allows me to reach another goal that I have. And this is how you have to do it. I went for the various degrees that I had because it was fitting into my vision, into my plan of where I was trying to go. All right? So, you got those 5 points. Now, note, let me just make a note here. We're almost done, and then we're going to open it up for questions. You have to understand that the vision is big, and the vision has to be for the future. Understand this. If your vision, and I know this is going to happen to you, it has happened to me, it has happened to everyone else that is very, very successful. The vision will sometimes seem unattainable. It will seem too big. Denise, I know she's going to crack up laughing probably when she, because she knows that you know this. The vision will sometimes seem unattainable. And you know what you have to do in that case? You have to simply intensify your efforts. Intensify your efforts. Don't do what the natural mind tells us, give up. This is too hard. I can't go anymore. I'm too frustrated. You know, I didn't really want to do this anyway. Is this really, you know, that's when the enemy starts playing tricks on us. Did God really tell me to do this? Do you know how many phone calls I've gotten from people? God gave them a vision that was so big that they couldn't really figure out how to reach it. And so what happens 6 or 7 months down the road, you know, they call me and say, oh, I wonder if God really told me that. And that's just the enemy talking. I mean, sometimes maybe God didn't tell you, but you know what? Sometimes God might need you to do that anyway because that's going to get you to another step. But the thing is, people don't realize that when something seems unattainable, they are simply to intensify their efforts. That's why a lot of students drop out of school. It just seems too hard to stay there 12 long years to get that little piece of paper. And all the things that's happening to them is that they're getting frustrated, and they should just intensify their efforts, study harder, study longer, give up some more things, okay? But those of you who really want to focus and implement and grow your vision, you must turn up the heat on your vision. You must intensify, because 2010, let me tell you, the enemy is coming out with all guns. Listen, trying to stop us, because he already knows that God wants to do great things. And in closing, because I do want to take questions, I just want to leave you with this. If you focus, you will be better equipped to implement your vision. As a result of implementation, you will see your vision grow in 2010. Well, I thank you for tuning in tonight to this session. I hope you got something out of it. And now you can take your phones off mute. You can hit *6 or whatever else you have, and we'll take some of your questions.
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. First of all, I want to, this is Denise Jenkins from the Sanctuary Peace. Building Strategy Symposium for 2010. We would like to thank Lalisa Williams of the Lalisa Williams Show for being our facilitator. For those who got vision, guys, in 2010, we need to have some action has to be taken. And we just want to thank you, Lalisa, again for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you had another event this evening that you put off to do this session for us. We thank you for speaking so impactfully in our lives about focusing, implementing, and growing our visions in 2010. And we can't wait to see you live and in person at our Northfield location office in February. For you legacy builders who have seen and have been in the sessions with Lalisa, we will have her with us in Cleveland, Ohio, for the Heart of a True Leader, Developing Your Fellowship. So we're going to be doing that session live in Cleveland. Lalisa, we can't wait to get you there.
Well, I love
the idea about having points, and I'm just going to let everybody else speak, and if you have any questions, now is the time.
Well, I don't hear any questions. Just let me add to that for a moment. Definitely when it comes to focusing, what you want to, yes. And if you have a question, you can just jump right in. Because I know some people's, their phones were on mute and they may not have found a way to get back off mute. But focusing, you certainly want to find your passion. You want to harness your energy. And you want to leverage your purpose, your direction. So when you're looking at focusing, try to make sure that you're focusing on the things that you're passionate about, and you want to leverage your energy and harness your energy into that in which you are passionate for.
Okay. All right. So I'm back. We have just a few minutes left to the show today, this 4th of July day, and still celebrating the weekend. Just wanted to share that with you. I know that was from 2010, but it's never too late to set your vision and your purpose in place, to achieve that vision, to focus on it, and to implement it. You can start this if you have not achieved your goals for this year. If you have not even started your goal this year, then you can let that segment be a guide for you and get started now. I don't know what you're waiting for. Not quite sure what's your hold up. You know, you could think that it's financially. You could think that it's a financial hold up. You could think that it's an educational or intellectual holdup, but I want to encourage you, don't think about those things. Do work with what's in your hands, meaning start small. Everyone has at least something in their hand that they could start small. I remember the woman when she had the bottles, the jars, and she began to pour the oil. And while, yes, she was able to pour possibly hundreds of jars of oil to sell them, she had to start with one jar before she got to the hundreds, okay? She had to fill that jar up first. And that's what I want you to do. Begin to use what's in your hand. Furthermore, that conference was last year. We did it online. There will be other teleconferences that I will be doing online. I did go there in February. We did do a live workshop with her people there in Cleveland, Ohio. Her business owners, she gathered them in a room, small business owners, about 20 of them, and they all cast their vision. They asked questions. They set a foundation for what they wanted to do with their business. Now, that was over a year ago. Well, I did receive a call on Thursday. One of the persons who had attended that meeting, the live meeting, had purchased a copy of the book, Release Your Power, and now she's calling asking for, she has some type of an event coming up in August, and she was inviting me to come up to be a part of it and to also sell my books, to be a vendor, that they would do a book signing for me. So I'm sharing that with you to let you know that unless you have your vision out there, unless you are actually working in your dream, it's really not going to come true. You see, people say dreams do come true. Yes, for those that are awake and are living it, it's not going to come true simply because you had one. Because there are many people who go to the grave with their dreams still inside of them. So we all have dreams, but it's whether you will implement the dream or not. It's whether you will activate it. It's like a credit card. I can give you a card with $20,000 on it, but if you never activate it, you'll never get a chance to take advantage. You will never really benefit from that money that's on that card. And that's how some people are with their dreams. They have not activated their dream. Therefore, they cannot get the benefits of what it feels like. I mean, it's almost to a point where living your dream, it's better experienced than explained. Living the dream life, it's better experienced than explained. I can explain it to you. Absolutely, not a problem. However, it's nothing like actually living it for yourself. I can do scenarios. We can do role play. You can do a case study on living your dream. But it's going to be so much better if you're actually living it in the flesh. You're living that dream. Write that book. Start that business. Start two or three businesses. Open up a new business. Shut one business and open another. Whatever your dream is, go for it. Go for it. Our book, Release Your Power, is being featured all month long with the Women's Empowerment Book Club. And so during this time, we are going to be doing a series of teleconferences, teleseminars, YouTube sessions. We're going to do some live sessions to teach people how to tap into their internal power so that they can live their dream. I mean, you're not just tapping into the internal power for the sake of tapping, but you're doing it because you want to bring about your vision into reality. You want to bring that vision. Remember they said the vision is for the future. It needs to grow you. And guess what else? The beautiful thing about it, your vision is not just for you. It is going to grow other people. You may have a vision to start a training school. As I was saying before, my dream was to start a school. And as a matter of fact, Kiva knows, because we talked about it. Kiva knows that was my heart. I've talked to her about it. I've called her up and I've asked her, "Or how did you do it? What does it take?" She knows. And so now that I get to run a school as if it's my own, I make all the decisions for the school. Okay, except I really can't even make decisions about the funding. I make all the decisions for the school. You see, when you tap into your dream and you follow it, I'm telling you, mystical things will happen. Well, that's all we have time for today here on the Coach Elisa Show. We'll see you back here tomorrow for another segment of the Coach Elisa Show. Now, you're going to go and finish enjoying your 4th of July weekend, your day off, or whatever. I hope to connect near future somewhere along the way. Don't forget, your goals will take you to the destiny of your
life. Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lalisa J. Williams.